On this glorious summer's morning, will you rise as you are able to share in our call to worship? Lift your eyes to God. In the highest heavens, we see your glory, great Creator. Reach out your hands to Jesus. In the compassion of an enemy, we know your love, O Christ. Feel the breath of the Spirit
in our sinners and
in our souls. The Spirit whispers hope. Let us worship the God who reigns by entering the depths of our humanity and setting the humble
on the wings of the Spirit for the sake of eternity.
Please remain standing for hymn number 429.
We are going to sing verses 1, 3, and 5.
Let us confess who we are. Our God has asked us to heal the sick and preach the word, yet we often fail to witness God's purpose to those we meet, let alone preach. Let us now turn back and draw closer to God by saying who we truly are before God and our brothers and sisters in Christ. Holy One of Nazareth, we see you calm storms, heal illness, even restore life. Yet we still struggle to trust you. You send us out, but we want to stay home. You provide partners for the journey, but we want to go it alone. You give us authority over evil, but we don't know how to use it. You say we need only the clothes on our back and a staff in our hand, but we pile the car full of food, clothes, tools, and toys. We make sure our phones are charged and our GPS is on. You tell us to accept hospitality,
but we don't like to put people out.
You say that if people are unkind, we should simply shake the dust off our feet.
But we would rather get mad and post about it on Facebook.
We have much to learn from you, Jesus, about traveling gracefully through this life. Forgive our failings and grant us a deeper trust. Hear these words from Christ. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So go forth in the power of the Almighty, who forgives you and loves you. Amen. Therefore, I say to you, may the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please share that peace with others by waving to each other.
Well, seems like we just did this the other day, and we sort of did. Testing 1, 2, is it on now? Okay. I had it turned on. We honored some graduates a few weeks ago here, but one of our graduates wasn't quite yet graduated, nor even in this state. At this time, I would like to invite Olivia and Melody and Gabriel Bear to all come forward along with Jonathan Patterson. I'm taking over. Come on up, everybody. Come on. Come on, get up here, big tall guy. Big tall guy's going to stand right here next to me. Make me look tiny. Let's introduce each other. Can you say your name to this big guy?
Hey.
I'm Jonathan. Nice to meet you, Gabe.
And ladies, each one, let's introduce ourselves.
Melody. Olivia.
Can you say hi back?
Hello.
Jonathan. Yeah. Now, he was once your age. Yeah. And he came to church, too, every Sunday. I know you go to church even more because you go to Catholic school, right? Parochial school. Yeah. Well, he grew up. He got really tall. You think you'll grow tall someday, maybe?
No.
No. She's honest.
But I grow really tall. Like I tall in my place.
Yeah? Okay. Well, you know, Jonathan decided that he would go to the Ohio Army National Guard. Yeah. When he got out of high school, that's what he did. He went to the National Guard. He became a soldier. The soldiers who fight for our country. But you know what? He went to fight for our country, but he went in service to God. This is the 4th of July, the day we honor our country, isn't it? You've got the red, white, and blue on. You ladies look beautiful. He's got his fatigues on. We're honoring our country. But we still, and I'm sure Jonathan would agree, we still honor God above all, right? Yeah. So I wanted you all to be here as we honor him and we honor God. Today, we want to thank you. And let's see, do I go first on the prayer or do you go first with the thing?
I go first.
Okay, you go first. And then we'll pray, okay?
I'm going to add to it that it's very appropriate on the 245th anniversary of the birth of our nation to honor and recognize Jonathan for graduation at Fort Eustis. I knew I was going to have trouble with that. He graduated as a UH-60 Black Hawk maintainer. He is considering possibly law enforcement or auto mechanic in his future, Right now, he's still getting his feet back on the ground. He only got up back July 2nd.
And he's got big boots to do it with.
And Tim and Mindy Patterson are his parents. Kaylin, Matthew, and Mark Patterson are his siblings. And Richard and Glee Patterson are his grandparents. And from the church to Jonathan, we would like to present the book by Admiral William H. McRaven, retired, Make Your Bed. And this was highly recommended by somebody, and I've read it, and it's very interesting. He was, I believe, in charge of the Navy SEALs, and we have a copy in the library if you would like to read it. We also have, as we did for the other graduates, Oh, the Places You Will Go by Dr. Seuss, and I'm going to tell you, like I told them, read the back fly leaf. It tells what he wrote, why he wrote this book. This was his last publication before he passed away. And we also have a prayer scarf from the Prayer Shawl Ministry. So we want to wish you Godspeed in your future.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Shall we all gather our hearts together and pray about this graduate and for this graduate? Hey, Gabe. We're going to pray. Lord God, since 1776, you have sustained our nation and you continue to bless us. For such a gift as this, we are ever thankful. And we remember that many have given their lives for the cause of our way of life. Men and women continue to sacrifice and serve in the armed forces. Today, we pause to reflect and remember those who give of themselves so that we may remain as one nation under God. Lord, after deep thought and prayer, your child, Jonathan, made a commitment to serve you by serving this country. You accompanied him through his discernment, and for that, he, his family, and his church are thankful. Now, throughout these last months, O God, you guided his body and mind through training to qualify him to maintain complicated aerial hardware. Though these machines can bring havoc to our enemies' lives, they can also be used to move injured people to safety and ensure our troops have the supplies they need. So we ask that you help him to use his skills that he has developed for the greater good and always with a sense of duty and honor befitting your children. Let him remember, too, that there is no place he will ever be sent where you will not be present, even when he is sent to new places and surprising situations. At those times, grant him the strength to be your faithful disciple, as well as a respected member of the military. In all circumstances, may his thoughts, his words, and his actions be pleasing to you. May he serve in such a way that both friend and enemy alike may see your glory and the power which comes to those who trust you. We pray this in the name of our King, our priest, our Savior, Jesus. Amen. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may depart.
We forgot to mention that on your way out, there is a table with goodies for you to grab and go or grab and take out and sit down and visit out in the outside area under the overhang.
Work for all my life, and I have.
Yeah, that got to me. Thank you so much, Barry. Thank you. I think the kids are Children's Church. Fun having them all, isn't it? We do bless this country, or we ask God to bless this country. But God also blesses us in other ways. And one of those ways is by giving us scripture through which to learn about our relationship with one another and with God and how to live as God's citizens in this country. So I ask that you listen now to the beginnings of chapter 6 of Mark's gospel. It happens after Jesus cured the hemorrhaging woman and the little girl. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown. His disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. Many who heard him were surprised. Where did this man get all this? What's this wisdom he's been given? What about the powerful acts accomplished through him? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't he Mary's son and the brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon? And aren't his sisters here with us? They were repulsed by him and fell into sin. And Jesus said to them, "Prophets are honored everywhere except in their own hometowns, among their relatives and in their own households." He was unable to do any miracles there, except that he placed his hands on a few sick people and healed them. He was appalled by their disbelief. Then Jesus traveled throughout the surrounding villages teaching. He called for the 12 and sent them out in pairs. He gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey except a walking stick. No bread, no bags, and no money in their belts. He told them to wear sandals, but not to put on two shirts. He said, "Whatever house you enter, remain there until you leave that place." And if a place doesn't welcome you or listen to you, as you leave, shake the dust off your feet as a witness against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should change their hearts and their lives. They cast out many demons, and they anointed many sick people with olive oil and healed them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Gotta tell you, this is going to be a different sermon. The two vignettes we just heard, they seem very disjointed one from the other, right? The first casts a negative light on Jesus. At first, his neighbors were astounded by the hometown boy's preaching, and then they rejected him. It isn't simply because he's just Mary's son. And by the way, what did happen to Joseph? Is it because he's doing things no lowly carpenter should be able to do? Perhaps they were jealous of him. And maybe it's that since he didn't have a father, he's supposed to follow the family's trade and provide for his mother. And since he isn't, he's bringing shame on everyone. Regardless of the hometown folks' reasons, Jesus is so deeply affected that he can't seem to do many miracles. And though he remembers how prophets are not venerated in their hometowns, he still can't get his head around the idea. He was doing good things for people in need. What's stopping these other folks from believing that God can work miracles through his hands? So Jesus figures that if you can't grow good where you're planted, it's probably time to try to farm in another field, which is what he did. Yet that whole rejection thing provided him with insights on ministry, and he shares them with his students. Now, the 12 had come to the town with Jesus, and he called them to his side and told them that now was the time for them to go out on a journey out of town on their own to try their hand at healing unclean spirits. Teachers, nurses, doctors, all kinds of people, pastors too, can remember our first field experience and how anxious or scared we were. Will I bring the class what they need? Can I administer IV medications painlessly enough? What will my supervisor say about how I'm doing my job? It's a time when you feel so exposed, so not in charge of your life, so vulnerable. And Jesus makes this one more nerve-wracking by telling his pupils they weren't to take anything with them other than their partner. No extra shirts or food or money, no chalk or workbooks or Band-Aids. They were traveling light. And with all the wild animals and bandits hiding along the roads, these men had to feel just very exposed and vulnerable, as do student teachers today. How would they provide for themselves or fend off hungry beasts? Feeling vulnerable is really challenging for most people, including me. But I need to share a story with you that happened this week. Remember the day the storm blew in around noon, like Wednesday, I guess it was? I'd been out and came back to church afterwards, and as I drove into the first Maple Avenue lot, you know, the one downhill, I noticed smoke over near the cross, the new one that Bill had just put in. Thinking we might have taken a lightning strike, I parked the car and walked over. And to my surprise, I discovered a lean-to in the clearing and a damp fire kind of smoldering in the pit. A man sat close by. I was not sure what to do. But being a responsible pastor, I needed to find out what was up. So I walked towards him, and I called out. Now, I was a little concerned about my safety, so I kept a good 20 yards or so between he and I, maybe 30. "Hi, what's up? Everything okay?" And we went from there. He had some kind of story about the police taking his car to impound, and now he was walking back to where he lived. He'd been able to take some of his gear out of the car, like a rolling cooler and the tarps and a sleeping bag. Not much. But he also had a few bags of food from Walmart and was fixing himself a hot dog. His sentences were complete. He didn't appear to be wildly deranged or on drugs. He spoke about his faith a little, and he said he lived at a church camp out near Newark. I'm taking all this in and thinking, dear God, what am I supposed to do? I could tell he knew how to live outdoors and that he was in difficult straits. Jesus would want us to help him. But what does that help need to be? And what about the church's property? How do we take care of it and keep people who visit safe and all that? Should he stay or should he go? Well, I'm not the final arbiter of these sorts of things. Presbyterians are church together. So after telling him I wasn't sure how we should respond to his needs, I also said I needed to pray about things and would come back and let him know soon about what we thought was the best thing for him to do. The experience left me feeling spiritually unsettled. What would Jesus do in this situation? Back in the office, I called the building and grounds chair. And we talked about our concerns and what might be the right thing to do. We didn't really think the fire circle should become an open-ended campground. But we also knew homeless folks often wander back into the woods around there to camp. We just don't see them. They're hidden. In the end, we thought it might be okay for him to stay, with me checking in on him in the evening and letting the sheriff know what was up, provided that he was packed out by around 10:30. That way the women's Bible study could gather in the shelter house at 11 and not feel threatened. When I went back to talk to the man, I still felt vulnerable. But he was, as he had been, peaceful about complying with our wishes. As we talked, though, thunder started to boom in the background, and the lean-to did not look like it would take another storm and keep him dry. So I mentioned he might want to think about moving his gear back under the low brush in the woods. Then I went back in to call the Bible study leader and let her know what was up. Now, God was absolutely working through all of these conversations, and in this particular one, our member remembered that there is a Methodist pastor here in town who serves down at Putnam First, right? She's Methodist. And lo and behold, that pastor answered my call on the very first ring. We talked, and within a few minutes, she was on her way here to help guide us through this complicated situation. When she and I got down to the space, the lean-to was gone. Absolutely gone. Not sure if he'd totally left because we were kind of gently moving him that way, or what was going on. I called out his name. And his voice came back out of the woods where he'd moved. The other pastor made her way back into the greenery, and as I was still somewhat nervous, I hung back. But after their conversation began, I could sense he was still acting peacefully, so I too entered the space. And there, I noticed a second man sleeping in the lean-to. Okay. Two. In the end, we discovered that really all these guys needed was to get some sleep and get home. So my colleague offered to drive them back to Newark at 8 a.m. Okay, then. I arrived just before the appointed hour. And lo and behold, there was the cooler and the tarps all folded up nice and neat right there by the walk path down to the shelter. Once we were all packed into the car and moving, I handed out breakfast sandwiches and coffees. Yeah, I still felt a bit shaky about riding in a car with two men that I did not know. But we were going to a place called God's Acres. And I figured that meant that God was taking care of all of us. We broke bread, and we chatted together. And pretty soon, the first man began talking about his faith and how blessed he was that God found him a couple years back and led him to a place where he was able to begin to turn his life around. He asked the other guy if he wouldn't like to stay at God's Acres, too. He said it's a real good place. But man number two wasn't particularly sure about going to church and stuff. Well, the first guy chatted away and guided us down to the dorms that were part of what was once an old church camp. Man number two got out of the car to help unpack the trunk and to check out the dorm. Now, he'd been pretty quiet throughout the trip. But once back in the car, he said the place did look nice. And we got him talking a little bit about his life. Turned out he lived down in South Zanesville. So as we drove back, the other pastor and I talked some to each other about our faith and ministries. I really thought the guy in the back seat was sound asleep. He was so quiet. But when we arrived here to drop me off, he asked that we remember to pray for him and his family. Wow. Wow. As I usually do, I asked if there was anything special we needed to pray about. He said no, just please pray. So I asked if we could just pray right then. And he said yes. And as we reached out for each other's hands, He was the one who first prayed aloud. This from a rather silent man who wasn't sure about God and church. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. These two men carried very little to the Trinity cross space. Except for the clothes on his back, the second man had nothing. That sleeping bag and tarp and cooler all belonged to the first guy. And those things are not much to live with. And yet, both men offered powerful testimonies to their faith in the man who 2,000 years ago sent his disciples out to minister with nothing except their partner. Yeah, the second man was pretty tentative about the whole thing. But he was searching for hope, for his life and for his family's life. And he was willing to begin placing that hope in Jesus. The first man, well, he was the one who was casting out demons from the second man. And truth be told, from my colleague and I too, he anointed my head with oil by showing me how to live openly, how to be vulnerable in the face of great obstacles, and how to trust in God that all will be well, even in strange situations. And that is a healing act straight from God. It was a real risk for us, the church, to permit them to remain here overnight. We could have sent them away packing, shaking the mud off their boots as they went, instead of dust. And I'm sure, well, no, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if we'd do the thing again. Building and grounds and mission and emergency response and the entire session, even you all, need to chime in on the kind of response that we should offer when facing this kind of situation. The two men remained with us until they could go home. The first man's testimony seemed to begin the process of casting out demons from the other man, who also anointed us with oil when he prayed. That was a miraculous gift of God's healing that we can never repay. They shared their faith with us, and all of our lives were changed. Pretty amazing what God's love can do, even in strange situations. Amen.
You may remain seated as we remember aloud what it is we believe. Let us read together. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. In him, all things are in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him
God was pleased to reconcile all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Amen.
I became aware of some really exciting news yesterday after I sent out the email. Diane, what's happening on Friday? Dwayne's coming home. He's going to live at Alter Care? Yeah. He's well enough that he can be returned to his hometown. And that is something to be joyous about. I also saw Bill Cook yesterday. He's doing good. It's going to be a while before things get back to where he was, but he's working on it. And I haven't heard of any other prayer concerns. Shall we join our hearts and lift them up unto the Lord in prayer? O God, creator of all things seen and unseen, we join together in thanksgiving and praise for the whirling galaxies, the windswept fields, and rolling blue oceans. We are indeed thankful for all the simple yet amazing gifts you have presented to us, families, friends, working times, and retirement times. As we celebrate our country's history and heritage, we ask you grant wisdom and courage to our political leaders so that they will act for the common good and with justice for all. We ask that you grant imagination and passion to educators and artists, compassion and skill to healers and caregivers, intelligence and generosity to business and industry leaders, fortitude, dignity, and resilience to all workers in all trades, and hope so that everyone might praise you through our gifts and find safe rest in the future you have designed for the people of this land. We pray this day for all who suffer at the hands of the violent and power-hungry, the greedy and the malicious, the ignorant and the misguided. We especially pray for the people of Ethiopia as they face rebellious insurgents. May each person who is afflicted find comfort in your merciful love. Empower your church with your Holy Spirit to boldly proclaim the good news of your love and joyously reach out in mission to restore all people and creation in peace. Teach us to trust the simplicity of Christ and travel lightly, vulnerably, and yet confidently into your vision for us. Hear our hearts as we lift up to you those who travel at this time, those who have no safe homes in which to live, people who have died or are dying, those who are ill, their families, and all who are of concern to us. We pray this in the name of your Son, our King, our Priest, our Savior, Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
this next hymn, the words are in the bulletin. The tune, I don't believe, is in our hymnal, but you will recognize it. It is the tune of Finlandia. If you're not sure what that is, when you hear it, you'll recognize it.
Years of being the United States of America. What a blessing we have received from God to be allowed to live in freedom to serve our Lord. Mark told us about Jesus not being honored in his hometown, and about the disciples going out in twos to heal the world. Each of you are disciples, and each of you carry that same charge to go out and anoint people with healing oil. It may not happen in such strange ways as did this week for me. but go and do. Serve the Lord with gladness. Honor, dignity, bring hope to all you meet. Live with open hands. And live knowing that those hands will be filled by God, the God who goes with you in love, and Jesus Christ, who gave his life for you, and the Holy Spirit that draws us together to God's heart. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen. Try.